Thanks for joining me this morning on Minding Your Health, the show that helps you find ways to take back control in issues regarding your mental and physical health. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist, an NLP master practitioner, and a certified instructor here at the Fair Hypnosis Center in Eden Prairie. And I'm so glad to be with you every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Today, we're continuing our three-part segment on weight loss. This is a top New Year's resolution. And today, we're talking about diet and exercise, everybody's favorite. I have two guests with me here today in the studio. I want to welcome Carol Wickerin. She's owner of My House Fitness in Hopkins, and Beth Schupanitz, owner and consultant at Inspiring Health Solutions. Let me tell you a little bit about both of them. Carol came from a corporate career in sales management, and she'd always had a passion for fitness, working out with a trainer for years. But work had her traveling about 3 out of 4 weeks, and she'd had enough. So she felt it was time to make a change and followed up on her passion. Congratulations on that, Carol. And opened My House Fitness in Hopkins. She teamed up with Evie, who is your trainer, right, for 10 years. And she's since added 3 more fantastic trainers, all of whom who have several certifications and years of experience. So welcome, Carol.
Thank you.
Awesome. And then we have Beth. Beth is a registered nutrition consultant and a professional-level nutrition response testing practitioner. I'll let you talk about that in a little bit. For the past 16 years, Beth has worked with women dealing with chronic conditions to folks that have struggled with their weight their entire lives. Beth gives sensible, result-oriented nutrition that is customized to the individual through non-invasive testing and lifestyle modifications. Beth's experiences as a prior sugar addict has given her the experience and tools to work with nutrition lifestyle goals. So welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Roberta.
You are welcome. So I'm going to direct my first question to both of you. We'll go ahead and start with Beth. But I want to give you both this question. There's so much confusion on the best things to eat and the best way to exercise. It's really overwhelming for people. So what do you tell your clients about this? Beth, let's start with you.
Yeah, you know, there is a lot of misinformation out there. And we're bombarded by it on a daily basis. And that is one thing that I demystifies for a lot of my clients, really. But, you know, most of it out there, there's so much marketing, and you have to kind of shuffle through all that and find out what's the truth and what's marketing. And a lot of it is that it's not one size fits all for the client. We really have to find out what fits them and what works for them. So the confusion is understanding what is the truth. And the biggest thing that I give people is that eat God-given real food that's close to nature as possible.
Right. And of course, we were growing up with the food pyramid, right?
Absolutely.
Which we have really found out is not the way we should be eating. Am I correct on that?
Well, right. Absolutely. There's a lot of government or lobbyists and a lot of money that was set forth in order to put that food pyramid in place. But in reality, we want to eat closer to real foods such as meats, proteins, and colorful carbs, not having so much of the grains and the sugars, which there's very big lobbyists in government telling us to eat those things.
Right, right. I had a friend tell me they shop the outside of the store, like the perimeter, right?
Yep.
Because that's where you find the meats and the fresh produce, and then everything else in the middle is the stuff you should try to avoid down the aisles, right?
That is correct.
Excellent. Carol, how about exercise trends and fat? I mean, is it aerobics, weight, sprints? I mean, gosh, I'm confused.
Yeah, I think it's a lot like nutrition where you hear different things and there's whatever's the fad of the day. Should I lift weights? Should I do more cardio? And the answer is yes, you should do both. I think a lot of people get into doing long bouts of cardio. If I'm on the treadmill for 60 minutes, then I'm doing myself good. And you are. But you also need to look at strength training. Ultimately, we're trying to build lean muscle mass. So there's no fad to it. There's no easy pill. It's very similar to nutrition. You do what's natural, and there's no secret pill. You know, you just can't lose weight by doing fad types of things. But there's a lot of really fun exercise programs out there. So it doesn't have to be tedious.
Right. And I guess, too, I mean, I always encourage, you know, a lot of the clients that come to me might be very overweight. They have, you know, 100 pounds to lose or, you know, 60 pounds to lose. And it's been many years since they've been in the gym. And, you know, they're nervous about that environment or yes. self-conscious about that environment. But, you know, they... Sometimes we read too much, right? We look at all of these things out there, and that information can be overwhelming, whether it's exercise or whether it's diet. You know, you don't know who to believe. So what I'm hearing from you guys is let's go back to the basics.
We
want to eat healthy, close to nature, and we want to do what our body would normally do, right?
Correct.
And that is build strength, build stamina, and, you know, for the long term, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So I'm also hearing that there's no diet that fits everybody and there's no exercise routine that really fits everybody. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Yep. Great. Beth, you're looking like you want to say something over here.
Oh, well, there definitely is no one diet that fits everybody. But the majority of the people will do well by eating high quality proteins, fats, and colorful carbs being your veggies first,
mm-hmm.
and really limiting or crowding out, I like to say, those grains and those sugars. And if it comes in a package or a box, yeah, you probably want to stay away from it.
Right.
Those are not things that really feed or give us the nutrients that our body needs.
Right. And I think it's probably safe to say with both of you that there's always going to be segments of the market. I mean, it is what business is like that are pushing you toward a certain way that will lead you to buying their products or their services or their
yes.
foods, and trying to find a way for you to stay hooked to that. And especially with foods, they put sugar in everything,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's really hard to pick something else up off the shelf that doesn't have sugar in it, and more than it should, more
right.
than naturally occurs, right? And the same with exercise. I mean, it is that fad of the day and that trend, right, Carol?
Yes, I think, you know, sometimes people over-exercise. You can over-exercise
oh.
and cause injuries and or do things a lot the wrong way. So it's really important to know that your form is correct. And sometimes that's why people go to personal trainers and such, so that you have so that you're doing everything correctly and you're not actually hurting yourself by doing exercise, which can happen.
Right. And I would guess from both of you, too, and maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I know with clients, I see clients for a lot of reasons. Weight is one of them, which is what we're talking about now, but also pain. And so you'll have clients where they'll have a really good day and they're feeling really good and they'll go out and do everything they can and then they pay for it in a really big way. And exercise can be like that, right? It's not sustainable when you do that. And with dieting too, right? I mean, if I were to say I'm never going to eat anything with sugar in it again, that's not a very realistic goal, is it?
Right.
Not and live in this real world.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. And you make a good point about pain, is that if we're not eating foods that give our body the nutrients, but we're eating foods that are high carbs, have a lot of sugar or processed or a lot of chemicals, they're going to contribute to that pain. So
mm-hmm.
if they're doing an exercise that's not correct and they have an injury and then they're eating foods that are not supporting their body, guess what? They're going to have even more pain.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, and honestly, I'll speak to myself. I was in this camp. If you would have told me 6 months ago that the food that I was eating was bothering me, I would have said, mm-hmm. no, I can eat anything. Nothing upsets my stomach.
Sure.
You know, spicy foods don't upset my stomach. You know, I've got physical issues. I would say the same thing about exercise. But the reality is it's not all equal. All exercise isn't equal. All foods are not equal. I've been told I've struggled with weight for a long time now, and I've been told it's calories in, calories out. And that would apply to exercise or food. All foods are not equal. All exercise is not equal. And so, you know, and finding what's right for me has been very challenging. And I really think back to all those doctors that told me it's simple math. You know, if you don't take in too many calories, you know, you'll be fine. And it's really, I mean, obviously there's a portion of that that is true. You can't overeat. I mean, I had a client. She's so funny. She says, well, you only eat healthy snacks. And I said, well, what do you eat? Well, I eat, you know, fresh vegetable or, you know, fruits and nuts, you know. Well, nuts are good for you. But she was eating a box full, not just a little hand, you know, palm of your hand kind of thing. Well, it's a lot of calories in a whole bag of nuts. Mm-hmm. And no, she wasn't going to lose weight doing that, even though that they were a healthy choice compared to what she was eating. So everything in moderation, right?
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. So today what I want to focus on is that diet and that exercise piece. When we come back from our commercial break, we're going to be talking with Carol Moore about exercise. I just want to remind everybody that we are in this three-part segment about weight, and last week I talked a lot about the emotional components of weight loss. Weight is right there at the top of most people's New Year's resolution list, and whether it's losing weight or even just getting back in shape and living a healthier lifestyle, that's what we're focusing. Next week, for our listeners out there, we're going to be talking about the physical components of weight loss. So, and when I mean physical, I mean health issues and what's going on in your body that might prevent you from losing weight. So today, our focus is diet and exercise. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and I'm here to remind you that hypnosis can help you be more productive and reach your full potential. Today, we're here with Carol and Beth, experts in the nutrition and exercise realm, and we're helping you take back control by empowering you through education on weight loss, diet, and exercise. And we'll be back with you after this short break. Welcome back. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health. Today, we're helping you take back control by empowering you through education on diet and exercise. And over the break, I was talking here with Carol Wickerin, who's owner of My House Fitness in Hopkins, and Beth Schupenitz, owner and consultant at Inspiring Health Solutions. She works with nutrition. So I got two experts here today. And over the break, we were talking about this idea of calories in and calories out. Beth, what is it that you'd like to add to that?
Well, you know, I don't recommend my clients to count their calories. I recommend that they count if they're eating a fat, a protein, and a colorful carb every time they eat. And that's called balanced eating. And when you have balanced eating, you control your blood sugar levels. But more importantly, it's about the quality of the food that you're taking in. Because 100 calories of rice cakes, but 100 calories of, vegetables or 100 calories of a meat is going to give you way different nutrient value, which your body can actually utilize to build muscle, to build strength, to clean out and detoxify the body as the body should. So it's not about calories, because when you eat in balance a protein, fat, and a colorful carb, it is way more difficult to overeat than if you're eating empty calories without the nutrients. Your body will actually be hungrier if you have empty calories.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you think about it. You can, you know, eat a candy bar and still feel hungry afterwards.
Right.
Of course, you have that big sugar rush afterwards, which is no good. And you're over here, too, shaking your head, Carol, about the exercise end. Do you find that calories in, calories out doesn't apply on your end either?
Yeah, that's true. And we talk to our clients also about the nutrition side of it as well, because they think, you know, you really have to look at both. And nutrition may be even more important in weight loss than exercise. But we have clients who plateau because they're not eating enough. And
right.
So
they
think, if I just eat an apple today and then I exercise all of these minutes on a treadmill, I will lose weight. But it doesn't work that way.
Right.
You have to eat. And that's, you know, that's one of the key things that we talk about as well. And exercise, yes, there's science that shows that high-intensity training, high-intensity short periods of training really helps rev up the metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
Versus just working at a slow, steady 60% rate on the treadmill.
Okay.
The nice thing is it takes less time. So in less time, you can actually rev up fat burning and calorie burning. by going high-intensity, strong bouts of training, and then active rest, because your body continues to burn fat and calories after you're finishing your workout. So it's a more effective workout in a shorter period of time.
Got you. And I hear, too, that the more muscle you have, the more you burn. Is that correct?
That's correct. And that's why strength training is really an important element of this, is because you have to build the muscle. And so what we really work on is building muscle and losing body fat. So lean muscle is really critical.
So is there a certain percentage for people who don't go to a studio, for example, like yours, but who are trying to do things at home? Should they be looking at how much time am I spending doing cardio? How much time am I spending doing strength training? Is that important, or should they just be trying to do a little bit of both?
I think both is really, you know, mm-hmm. is the key. We try to do it together. So we'll do active exercises that involve both strength and cardio at the same time. And okay. that's just a more effective way of getting a full workout in a short time.
Okay. So can you give me an example of that so I can picture in my mind what that looks like?
Sure. I don't know if you know what a TRX is, but it's basically using your body weight with ropes to if you haven't seen one, it's hard to describe. But so we do things where they're using strength, they're using their body weight, and they're flexing. Let's say you're doing your biceps.
Okay.
And then we have them do curtsies and fast motion. So they're doing this and this together, or we use the fireman ropes. And so they're heavy, and so there's strength building, but we're getting their heart rates up
okay.
at the same time. And that's really the most efficient way to work out.
Yeah. And so another thing that I was thinking about when we talk about exercise, I guess it's important. I mean, obviously, you have a beautiful studio. I've been there, and Evie is a great trainer. I had a session with her. It was really fun. But not everybody has that. And exercise can look differently than just going to the gym,
absolutely.
Right? So it's about movement. It could be dancing. Mm-hmm. It could be, going to Costco to do your grocery shopping and deciding to take an extra couple of laps around the store.
That's right.
Right? Or parking a little farther away than the right. closest spot to the front door.
And that's why these fitness trackers are so good, because it keeps people very conscious of trying to do things, just regular everyday steps.
Right.
Just movement, as you said.
Yeah. And I think depending on where you are, and I guess one of the questions that I wanted to chat with you about is that everybody is at such a different level of physical activity, what they can and can't do. I know I've been that way through, different phases of my life. You know, when I had my knees, I mean, there were so many things that physically I could not do with bad knees. And then I got them replaced, and then I had to recover. And, now I still, while I have much more stamina and I can do a lot more, I still have some range of motion issues. So we go through our lives with, different stages. We're older, we're younger, we've got a physical disability. How should exercise vary to people like that?
It really needs to. And that's, I think, a very good point. Just like a nutrition program, people have to have different programs. It can't be one size fits all. So we try to work around injuries. We try to strengthen the muscles, like say on your knee, if you're working on your knees, we might build the muscle around to support it. So we always offer alternates. You have to have alternates because, let's face it, as we get older, there's things we can't do as much. So,
that's right. And we shouldn't be kind to ourselves about that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean,
it's just a fact.
Right. And we tend to expect that our body at 60 should do what it did when it was 30. And that's just not realistic.
Right. Not realistic. Yeah. I mean, we're blessed if you can, but for the most part, you have your little injuries. It could be a back, it could be a knee, but that doesn't mean you can't exercise. That doesn't mean you can't get fit. We just
That's
work
right.
around those things.
Exactly. And one of the things that we talked about before you came on the show that you wanted to bring up was this idea of type 2 diabetes. This is a national epidemic, probably a worldwide epidemic too, but especially here. How does exercise help in that?
Well, exercise is about trying to, again, going back to the lean muscle mass mm-hmm. and losing fat. Exercise will allow your body, once you lose some of that fat, it'll allow your body to function properly. It'll allow you to use insulin the right way. So basically, it allows insulin to work the way it should.
Okay.
And if you have a lot of extra body fat, then it really can't work effectively.
Right, because your body holds on to that and the insulin doesn't release and the timing gets all off.
Absolutely.
And, right.
Very, and, very much tied to nutrition. I mean, these right. two cannot be separated from each other.
Right, right. Okay. So exercise is yet another solution for that as well as nutrition. And I know when we come back and talk to Beth, maybe we can touch on that a little bit too.
Yes.
Good. Thanks, Carol. I just want to remind you all that we're here today, if you've just joined us, talking with Carol and Beth about diet and exercise. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health here on AM 950 Radio, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. This is the show that addresses ordinary problems and concerns that impact ordinary people involving your mental and physical health and the quality of your life. And when we come back, we'll continue this discussion, shifting our focus to nutrition. We'll be back in a few minutes. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health on AM 950, the Progressive Voice at Minnesota. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Today, we're in our second show of a three-part weight loss series, that New Year's resolution that doesn't seem to go off of people's list. It's there year after year. We're talking about diet and exercise with Carol Wickerin, owner of My House Fitness in Hopkins, and Beth Schuppenitz, owner and consultant at Inspiring Health Solutions. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit before we turn to Beth about how does hypnosis fit in with what we've been discussing so far. Last week, I talked a lot about the emotional components of weight loss and weight in general. And when it comes to diet and exercise, hypnosis is really helpful in helping you maintain your motivation. Because let's face it, we get home at the end of the day and maybe we haven't done our exercise for the day. We haven't had as much movement as we want and we're just plain tired. Or maybe it's time to go to the gym and we think, what does it hurt if I just skip one night, right? And that's where those habits, those old habits. So with hypnosis, we're looking to maintain that motivation. It's just one bite of cheesecake, right? Is it going to kill me? Well, probably not, but it will. And it will keep, this resolution will keep showing up on your list if we really don't change that lifestyle and that old way of thinking. So hypnosis will help make all of these things easier. Hypnosis isn't going to make you stop eating. In fact, it'll kind of lead into Beth here. You can't stop eating. And that's the hard thing. You know, I can work with people with addiction, like smoking, for example, and say, you don't ever have to smoke again. Part of the problem with eating is we have to eat.
Yes.
I can't say to people, you'll never eat again. And they, it's just not going to happen. So, let's kind of shift our attention there. Carol ended her talk a little bit about diabetes and exercise. Let's pick up with that. What comments would you make from the nutritional side on that?
Well, I think a lot of people look at foods and they find out, oh, I'm supposed to avoid sugar. I'm supposed to eliminate processed foods. Oh, I don't want to get rid of all the things I love. But in reality, when we focus on what we can't have, that makes it so much more difficult. And that's where I'm sure your work at being a hypnotist really helps understanding or reprogramming our brain.
Yep.
But when we eat in balance, and in balance means eating to control our blood sugar levels, when we control our blood sugar levels, we can control our insulin, we can control our cravings, we can control inflammation, which is everything itis, arthritis is inflammation, colitis is inflammation, cholesterol, high blood pressure is all inflammation. And it starts with what we put in our mouth. So I never tell myself I can't, being a prior sugar addict. And if I told myself I couldn't have something, I would say, oh, yeah, watch me.
Yep.
But when I focus on what I could have, I'd say, oh, I can have that brownie, but I'm going to have my fat, my protein, and my colorful carb first. And when I did that, it was like I was tricking my brain, and then my body got full and satisfied to where I didn't want that sugary item. The brownie wasn't even on my brain anymore. I didn't even want it.
Right.
And so for someone who is working on controlling their diabetes better, we start with foods, we start with the mind, and then the exercise comes into play, because when we exercise, we burn up that excess sugar, which then doesn't convert to fat, because if it's excess sugar lying around in our bloodstream, it does turn to fat. So a fat, a colorful carb, and a protein is super important. And yes, I'm giving you permission to eat fat.
Yeah, and because it is. It's what keeps us full, right?
Absolutely.
It keeps us feeling full. And, you know, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I've talked on my show before, the FAIR acronym is Focus, Associate, Repeat, and Expect. And it really applies to diet and exercise. What we focus on expands.
Right.
So we have to be focused on the solutions, not the problem. What we can do, not what we can't do, because that is what we focus on gets bigger. So that's really very, very important. So I got to ask you, what is the best diet for weight loss?
Well, that's again, it goes back to that we are all unique beings, and it really is different. Just because I'm gluten-free, that doesn't mean the next person has to be gluten-free. But studies have shown that people who limit or avoid, you know, products with gluten can be helpful. Some person might have a real big issue with dairy, but that doesn't mean that everybody does.
Right.
Although dairy and gluten and soy and corn and peanuts and eggs are the top 7 high allergen foods.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that everybody's unique and different, I always encourage people to get tested and find out, well, is there any food sensitivities? Because there's sensitivities, there are intolerances, and there's allergies. But the sensitivities can cause issues in our bodies. So as far as what is the best diet for weight loss, well, that depends. Going back to the basics, eat real healthy protein, healthy fat, and colorful carbs, that's going to be your staple. But then from there, are there certain things that you may be sensitive to? And that's where the testing comes into play on finding out exactly what does your body want or not want.
Right. And it's really important to do that. It's the same with exercise. I know for me, I tend to build muscle really fast. For me, there are certain foods that I am learning are inflammatory to me. How did I find that out? By cutting everything out,
mm-hmm.
and then adding it back in a little bit and just paying attention to my body.
Yeah.
How do I feel, and what kind of effects? You know, it might be, oh, I'm running to the bathroom a lot more, or I've got a headache in the morning, or that arthritis in my finger is starting to bother me a little bit. You know, is it what I ate? And so it really is learning what's important. There's a lot of talk out there about carbs being bad for us. Can you comment on that?
Well, you know, carbs are very highly processed sugars and grains. We always say sugar and grains equal pain.
Mm.
I'm going back to the pain statement earlier, but grains convert to sugar within 4 to 8 seconds of being in our mouth.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, but then there's even fruits. There's natural sugars in fruits, and higher glycemic fruits like a mango or a pineapple or banana are higher glycemic,
right,
higher sugar than, let's say, berries or Granny Smith apples. So if you eat a lot of fruits or a lot of root vegetables or starchy vegetables like potatoes or rutabagas, those will convert to sugar pretty quickly in our bloodstream.
Right.
So those carbs will shoot up our blood sugar levels, and what comes up must go down. And then you're on this roller coaster of your blood sugars being all over the place, and then inflammation comes about and cravings come about and weight gain.
Right.
So the lower carb diets actually work, but that doesn't mean that you can't have anything else as far as a carb. It's you want vegetables as your carbs.
Right.
So it's not that you're never having any carbs. You're eating a lot of carbs within your vegetables and fruits.
Right. Okay. Very good.
I think people a lot of times confuse carbs. That word to them means potatoes and pasta. And, and really there are very healthy carbs.
Right. And even within that, like I looked at the glycemic index of a white potato versus a sweet potato.
Right.
Totally different.
Yep.
I mean, hugely different.
Yep.
And so now if I want a starch, I eat a sweet potato. I don't eat white potatoes
and
anymore.
And add butter to it.
I can have a little
there
fat.
You can have butter
or
on it.
A little oil and vinegar, you know, or just a little pepper. I mean, sweet potatoes, to me, that's like a treat.
Yep.
yep. because they are sweet. And so if you have that little sweet tooth, so to speak, but the irony there with a sweet potato is it does actually taste sweet. Yeah. And yet it's not as sweet as a regular starchy white potato.
Right.
So, so a difference between the carb. What about supplementation? What about people who are very busy people who eat irregularly? Should they be supplementing their diet with vitamins or?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I believe that there is a place for that. And the biggest reason is because our soils are depleted. Our foods are so tainted with pesticides, herbicides, and the such, and there's genetically modified foods. And so our foods don't have the nutritional value that it did, say, you know, two generations ago. Mm-hmm. And we need the supplementation to really bridge that gap from what we're getting from our foods and what we're not getting from our foods. There is a difference in the quality of supplements out there, so you definitely want to work with someone who understands what's going to work for your body and not work for your body.
Right.
And get some testing done with it, too, because that will tell us, does your body need this? It may not.
Right.
So you don't want to, you know, overload yourself either. But there definitely, I kind of talk about the fabulous five: enzymes, probiotic, a good quality multi-mineral, multivitamin, mm-hmm. D3, we live in Minnesota.
Yeah, gotta have it.
That's right. And oils. Getting those good DHAs and EPAs and things like that in there.
Excellent, excellent. And so, you know, one of the other things that I run into with my clients is that everything revolves around food.
Yes.
You know, and truly, I mean, think about it. Family revolves around food. We get together. It's the holidays, right? So we're together with family and friends, and what do? We eat and we drink. We get lazy. We sit on the couch. We're not exercising anymore. It's, you know, that time of the year, you know, where people can put on 10 pounds in a couple of weeks because they just let it all go. So can you have a social life and still eat healthy?
Yeah, you know, and it's mindful social lifing. I don't really have a word for it, but yeah. It's being mindful about what you're doing. Before you go out and to a party, I always say have a little something to eat before you go. Mm. If you're going to bring a potluck or something that you're contributing to, bring something that you know you can eat that has a healthy balance to it. Mm. You know, if you're going to drink alcoholic beverages, make sure that you're drinking one that's lower sugar, doesn't have the grains, but have alternate between water and the alcoholic beverage.
Right.
So you're not getting dehydrated. You know, picking out the restaurants beforehand, looking at the menu beforehand. And again, focus on what's on your plate. Find what's my protein, what's my healthy fat, and what's my colorful carb. When you eat in balance, you don't want the sugary, starchy, high-calorie type foods that aren't going to love you back, so to speak.
Right, right. And so, you know, what I'm hearing really from both of you at this point is that just being thoughtful and being mindful about what we're doing, whether it's, you know, what we're picking up at the grocery store, what we're doing at our level of physical activity, you know, maybe especially because we are during the holidays and we're talking about this now, we don't have as much time as we normally do during the week. You know, we have our normal activities, and now the holidays are here, and there's shopping and presents and families and parties. And so maybe we can't get to the gym three times this week. But, you know, Carol's over here nodding her head. There's other things we can do, right? Even if it's simple.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, it doesn't have to be a 2-hour workout session. You know, give yourself permission to take a half hour out and do something. Something. Don't just say it's the holidays, I'm going to stop everything I've been doing.
Right.
Just work it in.
Right.
You know, make it work with your schedule and be accountable to that.
That's
as though it's a meeting.
Exactly. There you go. That's right. And, you know, just taking a walk or maybe at the mall, you know,
correct.
When you're out there doing that Christmas shopping and you're feeling rushed. Even if it's just saying, okay, I'm going to take my stuff out to the car, all the goodies I bought, and I'm going to come back in. I'm just going to circle the mall once. You know, I know at my local mall, it's cold out. I don't want to slip on the ice or whatever. I go to the mall and I walk.
Sure.
And, you know, I know that I can do 4 trips around and I've got my 2 miles in.
Absolutely.
Right? So there's ways to do it. It's just a matter of focusing. So we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more with Carol and Beth. I'm Roberta Fernandez, reminding you that hypnosis can help you be more productive and reach your full potential, and how that plays in with diet. diet and exercise. We come back, we'll talk about that. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health. Today, we're helping you take back control by empowering you through education on diet and exercise. We're here with Carol Wickerin, owner of My House Fitness in Hopkins, and Beth Schupenitz, owner and consultant at Inspiring Health Solutions, and she works on the nutritional aspect of things. You know, when I work with people on weight loss hypnotically, we're obviously working on a different thing. I don't give advice on diet and exercise. It's not my specialty. It's not what I do, which is why it's so important for me to have people like you on my show. But I do help on the motivational side, the emotional side, saying, you know, food, while it does bring us comfort and connection with people sometimes, it's energy. That's what it is. It's energy. And yeah, we should enjoy it and we should savor it, but look at it in a healthy way, in the proper perspective. The same with exercise. You know, this is the only body we have, and it has to support us for our whole life. And we have to take care of it, or it will start to fail us as we get older. What I find with my clients is that while I help them through that motivational part and the emotional components, help them stay compliant with their diet and exercise, they need an accountability partner too. And when I first started, you know, we would go through it with my clients. If a client is in for, you know, 15 pounds or 20 pounds, you know, for a lot of people, that's a lot. But in the scheme of things, it's not someone who has to lose 100 pounds. And a lot of people that come to me have 45, 50 plus pounds to lose. If I finish with them, and typically I do in 6 weeks, they feel like they're done because they don't have to come see me anymore. And so I've changed that process a little bit. The client and I will work with each other and say, you know, how often do you think you need to come back? And we'll set up a schedule, and they'll just come in for a half an hour, and we'll say, what's going on? What's working? What's not working? What are you challenged with? And then we do a little tune-up, because that keeps them accountable to themselves. When you have a lot of weight to lose, it's not going to happen in a short period of time. It always comes off slower than it comes on, and you have to be in it for the long haul. So I want to pose that question to the two of you. Why is it so helpful to work with an accountability partner? I mean, we know we can exercise on our own. Carol, what do you have to say about that?
Well, there's kind of two answers to that, I think. One in accountability is just accountability and having that meeting set up with your personal trainer. You know, I've gone through and put it on my calendar and said, okay, this is when I'm going to go work out. But I can always say to myself, but I got to go do this. Whereas if you have something always comes up. But if you have a personal trainer you have an appointment with, even if you don't feel like it, man, you're going to go and you're going to work out. And by the time you're done, you feel so good, you know. But if you don't have that accountability, and that's, I always knew what to do at the gym, but I always worked with a trainer because that would keep me going.
Right.
And I couldn't come up with, although we do put on our wall a list of excuses for the week. we do shame people if they come up with excuses.
With all the love you can muster, though, right?
Yes, of course. Very nicely. And the other side of that is measuring results. And that makes people accountable to their own success. So we measure everything. And that includes your cardio fitness. That includes your strength. It includes all of your measurements. Because it's not always just about weight loss.
No.
It's about changing your body and changing your habits and changing, you know, it's hard. If you don't measure somebody's strength, they don't realize they've gained strength. And as you said, if somebody has a lot of weight to lose, it can be very discouraging that you don't lose 10 pounds a week.
Right.
But that's not a healthy way to lose it.
No.
So we show them where they've lost 3 inches on their waist. And isn't that more significant?
Right. And if they are exercising correctly, they're building muscle. And
correct.
Muscle is heavier than fat.
Correct.
And so they might actually see a little bit of a gain at times, even though the dress size is smaller.
That's correct.
Right.
So we try to get them to focus on all of the improvements they're making as they're changing their habits and they're changing their lives.
Right. And the stamina, I would think, would be another thing that would be important.
Yes. We have one person who she's done very well, and she started out, she couldn't do a plank for more than 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. She can now do one for 4 minutes.
Wow.
Which I don't think I can do it for 4 minutes, but I just watch her, and she's just calmly, you know, and that she would never know if you didn't measure that.
Right, because you wouldn't realize.
Correct.
Yeah, and I think that's our tendency to always look at the negative rather than the positive. And again, it's what you focus on.
Correct.
So if you're pointing out those positive things, and I also think it's really helpful. I know one of the things I talk with my clients about is there's a lot of ways to measure. And when it comes to goal setting, sometimes it's not so much the pounds.
Yes.
Because that can be a psychological downer and disadvantage. If a client's come to me and it's on their New Year's resolution every year and they say, you know, I've been trying to lose the same 30 pounds and I just can't get there. Well, you know what? Let's go for 40 pounds. And they'll look at me like, what? Well, 30 didn't work for you. Because they have that in their mind. Surely,
yes,
it's
yes.
a mindset. Mm-hmm. I can't get to 30, mm-hmm. right? Or maybe we'll say, you know what, let's do increments. We'll do 10-pound increments.
Yes.
Because it's something to just kind of throw that mind off that old track it was on. Or it is about how they look. You know, everybody says, oh, I want to look better in my clothes. Mm-hmm. And the quintessential thing I had from one of my clients was, you know, what does that mean to you? How does that translate into your life? Well, I want my husband to watch me leave the room. Now that's a motivating
right.
goal
mm-hmm. right.
because that's not just about how she looks in her clothes.
Mm-hmm.
That's about how she feels. That's about intimacy. And that's what's going to keep her motivated, right?
That's right.
Yeah. How about you, Beth? Why should somebody work with an accountability partner on the nutrition side?
Well, you know, we're human beings and humans need to be with other humans.
Right.
And when you have a partner in accomplishing a goal or attaining something that you're striving for, you will work a little bit easier and a little bit better, especially mm-hmm. if that accountability partner is a professional that's trained in the area that you're focusing on.
Right.
And so with nutrition, it's important because there's, as we talked about earlier, there's so much misinformation out there that how do you know what is right for that individual?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things that I do is that when they're not with me, they're food logging. So we can talk about ways to implement better foods and what they're doing right and complimenting them on the success that they have done. And I keep an assessment on what they do. And we also do some testing in office. So that accountability partner within nutrition, there's several different ways that we can measure, just like
Correct.
You were saying.
Excellent. So. And if the people listening today want to reach out to both of you, Carol, how would they get in touch with you?
They can just call our studio at any time. And if someone's not there, it rings through to me. So I'll get that. So they can reach us at 612-444-3422.
Great. And that's My House Fitness.
My House Fitness, downtown Hopkins.
Excellent. And how about you, Beth? How would they reach out to you?
Well, they can go to my website, which is Inspiring Health Solutions, with an S at the end, inspiringhealthsolutions.com. And on there, I have a 30-minute nutrition strategy session that I do for free if someone's interested in learning more about what I do.
Awesome. I want to thank you both for being here today. Time has just flown. I mean, we
yes.
could talk about this for three more weeks, right? So I want to thank everybody for listening and joining me. I'm Roberta Fernandez at the Fair Hypnosis Center. And you can reach me at fairhypnosis.com, F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com. Tune in next week when we're here with Dr. Rob Lindsay of Vallejo Health and Wellness Center discussing the physical issues in your body.